Okay, let's do a review of last year then. Bit of content.
Sound, where should we start?
Biggest lessons.
Biggest lessons from last year?
Business-wise, entrepreneurial-wise, and also like life-wise. Don't get into all that. I'm just looking back.
I think the biggest personal lesson from a business property perspective for myself would be that my eyes have been fully opened up now to commercial / semi-commercial property. What do I mean by that? Well, what I do mean by that is residential property is dominated by what I've done in property, which has spanned the length of probably 10 years or more now. So to be exposed to commercial property, I see some massive benefits to it in comparison to just standard residential investing and developing. So we've clearly done a lot of that this year. Most of our work has been in that sort of part of the property world. And it doesn't really get spoken about.
It does get spoken about.
In certain circles, but not, I suppose, yeah, depends on who you mix with as ever. But there's some big positives. There's some good deals to be made. There's a lot of people operating in the residential space, be it deal sources, investors, developers, and they're all looking at the same stock. There doesn't seem to be as many people in the commercial / semi-commercial market from what I've seen.
So what did you learn in particular?
There's definitely more chance of getting a deal with commercial property.
Square foot, you're getting more, are you?
Yeah, you're getting bigger properties for less money. I would say there's more exits as well. There are a lot nationwide, our councils, local government seem to be more receptive to developing uppers, for example, into residential apartments or studios, a lot of which can be done under PD. And they seem to be making that process even better.
PD being permitted development, right?
Yeah. And that process seems to be getting easier and better.
I don't know about that.
No, as in more accessible. There's more buildings coming to market where that's looking like a possibility.
I think the market was good for that, boom.
Yeah, I think it's just a lot of towns and centres, as we've seen ourselves from where we bought, have had a problem with empty commercial buildings in the heart of their towns. And that's obviously not going to attract people into those towns. It'll do the opposite. People will start leaving to live and work elsewhere. So councils have obviously seen this as a big problem. And they're not all, but from what we've seen, Kidderminster being a good example, they're sort of welcoming money from outside of the town to come in and redevelop it for them.
Keep people away from Kidderminster.
Yeah.
Don't mention that.
It's terrible. It's a terrible place. So, have I answered the question there?
No, that's a mechanical answer, I suppose, in terms of like what technical answers. What qualities do you think you've picked up? You know what I mean?
I don't think you are dealing with different people as well. So obviously residential's more sort of moms and dads, that sort of dynamic, whereas commercial property, you're dealing with other commercially minded business people. So the conversations that you're able to have and the negotiations you're able to have are completely different. They seem to be more, approachable, open-minded. So the amount of offers that we've made over the last 12 months, you could say not one offer's been the same. They're all been sort of put together differently, whether that's, you know, so much up front, the rest at the end, subject to planning, splitting titles. There's all sorts of different ways you seem to be able to structure a deal with commercial property. It's not to say you can't structure deals with residential property either, but there seems to be more avenues to get business done.
Just the people you're dealing with more.
Does that answer the question?
Don't know, really. What was the question?
What have I learned was the broad question.
you could go any direction with that, couldn't you? Mm. You could go with the technical aspects or the more qualitative aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I learned patience.
Did you?
More patience. I'm still very impatient.
Women
in that industry, everything just takes time, don't it? If you've got a deal agreed today, January 5th, if you're getting financing, you can't expect beginning of March. Can't do it.
That's just true.
You can, but it's rare.
In my head, that is. If you look at what we did at Lower Mill Street and the time it took to get that over the line, you could argue another lesson for us, maybe myself or both of us, is to, you know, make a plan and stick to it. What I mean by that is that ended up taking 8 or 9 months to complete.
Mm.
The market, the property market can change massively in that time. Yeah. And I think that might have helped us in hindsight, though. Possibly, but let's say the market had turned out differently.
Mm. Like rates have started, they've stalled now, whereas...
Mm. Well, that's something else we've said, isn't it? You know, if we're able to make... If you're able to generate cash flow from residential or commercial property at the minute, you're doing something right. You're doing something right because they've never, that's wrong to say, they haven't been like this at these levels for, 10, 15 years or more?
Yeah. Mm.
And although it's, like you say, this is probably where they should be, around 3 or 4%, there's a lot of people that have gone through some tough times over the last 12 months. So if you've still been able to not only keep your head above water, but also add to your portfolio and make money, albeit, you know, sums of cash from selling little property deals or doing little flips or taking on commercial stock like we have, and you've made money at it, then you've had a half decent year.
Yeah, I think that depends on
now, how many people are selling
perspective, man.
Yeah, of course. How many people are selling their property portfolios at the minute? Buy to let landlords.
Quite a few. We've
10, 20 properties that were making probably 200 or 300 quid, let's say 12 months ago or more.
Yeah.
And now they're making 100 quid or even worse, they're losing money.
Mm. Loads.
Lot. A hell of a lot.
Yeah.
We've had so many come through, and you ask them what the price is, and they're just not going to get it. There's not enough income being generated. And that even worse still, a lot of these people will have bought these in their own name instead of through a limited company. So there's nothing you can do to help them to structure a deal in a certain way to help them on that side of things as well. So, yeah.
So I've advertised this podcast as Inevitable.
Nice. Is this the first one?
Nah, just you're an easy target for me because I'm in the office here. But like, generally speaking, I've just been talking and stuff.
Is there a lesson for you?
In your opinion, hang on, what makes success inevitable?
Well, that's sort of what I was just coming on to, actually.
Mm.
And it's another lesson from this year. I think we're at different stages of our development, no matter what we do, we can all suffer from shiny penny syndrome. Mm. And I think the more and more you do in whatever business you're interested in, you quickly work out that just hard graft, consistent hard graft is a better way of putting it. Those are the things that will create results over time.
Yeah.
You'll
be living in instant gratification world.
Yeah, everywhere. In every sense, it seems to be that way.
Yeah.
The people that are willing to put the time and effort in over a sustained period of time will be the ones that stand the test of time. And not just that, go on to do big things.
Mm.
And, you know, the social proof of doing that attracts everything you need to attract, albeit investors, you know, from what we do, investors, other property deals, especially if you can make good use of social media as well. There is no secret, is it? Is there?
No secret sauce. You can sell all this bullshit in the personal development world. There's no secret, man.
No, it's just hard graft, consistent hard graft over a long period of time, which will yield long-term results if you're willing to put that time and effort in.
being prepared to not make any money for 12 months, 24 months sometimes, in this game at least. Yeah. In other games it ain't like that. You get cash flow pretty quick, but...
Yeah.
And then having the patience when you do make money to not suck all the money out of the company, to keep pumping it back in.
Well, this, what we're touching on there is something, if you're from outside of the property world and you see probably what my social media account, your social media account, and don't get me wrong, we've had a decent 12 months, but you'd be forgiven to thinking, bloody hell, these guys are doing well. These guys must be rolling in it.
Mm. Doesn't work like that. Property, every time you buy something, you're skint. And if you're buying 15, 20 deals a year, you've got no money.
Yeah.
It's a mindset thing again, man.
And it, I mean, this is a almost pointless saying, but if you had better control, or at least if the legal side of what we do was more efficient, you could plan better for all of these eventualities. I mean, December, we had, was it 6 completions go through all in the same month, or 5 completions go through all in the same month?
And I think it was 4 and an offer accepted at the end of the month for him. So 4 completions, 1 offer accepted. We've got a deal completing next Friday. And so was, in a 30-day period, it'll be 5
completions. And there was one in November as well. So say 5.
Yeah.
Within, say, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. Mm. Which was a lot, which puts a lot of pressure on everything. Cash flow, you've got to pay everybody. Obviously, anyone that's been in property for 5 minutes knows all your money goes out at the front end of everything.
Mm.
So, yeah, that was an interesting few weeks.
Compounding as well, man. Like 5-6 deals in a 30-day period or so. That don't happen when you've just started out.
Mm-hmm.
That happens with a decade's worth of...
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, effort,
yeah,
connections, that's a big one. Your network.
100%.
So if you don't have them in any business,
yeah,
you're not going to be able to get where you think you can get. Because this business in particular, but any business, it's not necessarily how you do them. It's who you can surround yourself with to make what you need to do happen.
Mm-hmm.
People always go, how do I do this? How do I do this? I go on Google and search it all. So yeah, that gives you an overview. But you're far better, particularly if you've got the access to the capital to make it happen, paying these people. It's about who, not how, you know.
And working with those people that you're talking about there. I mean,
and over 10 years, if you connect your network and build, everyone's interconnected with each other, you build a web of people, you can just pick up the phone and somebody knows somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the developments we've got going on, it's like...
Well, you can even see that now, can't you? I mean, a progression from the start of last year to the start of this year, with it being the 5th of January today. How many deals have we got potentially now in the offing here? Obviously, we haven't closed on them all yet, but we agreed a 250k purchase of a nice property. I won't say where, between Christmas and New Year.
Mm.
We've got at least another 1, 2, 3 that we're also negotiating on at the minute.
Mm.
All of which, give or take maybe 1 or 2 of those, we've got the available funds through investors to proceed with.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big, big deal, and that's massive progression, really. That's not to say that we didn't have those connections at the start of last year, but you can see that they've grown and they continue to grow, which allows you to keep doing more and more deals and sort of building a bigger business.
Mm.
It's a big improvement from 12 months ago.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's just integrity, man. Just being honest with people as well and just saying what you're going to do it. If you've made a mistake, just say, we fucked up.
Yeah.
Just be completely open and transparent. Because the world's craving that. If you're that guy in a world, in an ocean of like
mess,
yeah, then you're going to be the people that people will siphon the money to. So any capital at the end of the day, it's just a field of energy that you have to tap into, man. That's all. Hopefully go into the Arabic world too.
Yeah.
See where that goes.
That's another thing, isn't it? You see different stages of your development. Again, we had some fairly low-key numbers last year, but we also had some pretty decent stories purchases as well.
It's all relative, isn't
it? And it's relative, of course, and it's, you know, where you're at, you know, who you're working with. Again, like you touched on, you know, who you're working with, the funds that you've got available to you. But if you look at, again, what with properties that we're looking at the start of this year compared to last year, instead of being, you know, 200 and below, they're now probably 200, 300, 400. So that's another sign of progression. You're looking at bigger deals, and that was one of our targets, wasn't it, this year? It wasn't so much the number of deals, it's, you know,
quality,
the quality, the cash flow, if we're looking at cash flow in deals, or the profit. You know, it's taking yourself away from just churning out deals, it's quality of deals, like you say.
Yep.
I'm just looking up at the board now as I speak. Some decent targets to aim for there. 300k a year extra rent.
It's doable.
Yeah, and so the value of property that we need to buy to achieve that.
Minimum, that is.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, another lesson from last year, or this year, last 12 months. Buying and selling with planning.
What about it?
The positives of that. Again, coming from more of a traditionally residential investment background. Not all, obviously, because people trade property. That's not something else that we've touched on and what we've done last year. But traditionally, you buy a property, you do some sort of a refurb, soft, light refurb, or fairly substantial, maybe, if you're doing a HMO type project. Let out, refinance, or let out and sell. Selling and planning it's a lot quicker, and you're able to just turn around your money a lot quicker as well. So if you're working with, I don't know, a particular investor who's quite happy to do that, then fair enough, you know, if he's got the cash to put in to do a development every single time. But it's just I think there's a lot more risk attached to it. I think if you're looking to buy and, you know, sell with a planning game, I wouldn't say there ain't a lot that can go wrong, but it just seemed a lot more of a seamless process with a lot less risk attached to it. And you're making lump sums of cash rather than having to wait probably at least another 6 to 12 months and not know what the market's going to be in that time as well. So it feels a lot less risky now.
I mean, yeah, but if you buy it right in the first place, you mitigate that risk there.
Yeah.
If you know that margin's going to be, for an example, 25% net when you complete the building, let's say the market, which it shouldn't, but suppose it takes a 25% dip, still washes its face, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So providing you've got that margin, you bought right, you've developed right, and... No,
yeah,
it depends on strategy, man. It's like if you're holding for 20 years, if that's the plan,
of course, yeah, does it different?
You know, and I'm not saying don't buy right, but you know, someone said to me the other day, in developing,
yeah,
of course,
it depends on the size of the developments. But imagine doing what we could still potentially do with one of our properties. It takes 15 months to 18 months to complete, and that exact scenario plays out that you just said. Or we keep it as it is, only develop the stuff that through PD.
We're on about 4 and 5.
4 and 5.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Or just keep it as commercial, like we're now probably going to go with. Far less risk, far less money to start with in terms of raising the capital to do the development. And if you do go down the route of leasing it commercially, you've got cash flow a lot quicker as well. And it gets us off a bridge sooner. There's a lot of upside.
What do you think of bridging lenders from experience? Let's just talk last year as an overview. What do you think of last year's bridging?
For somebody that hadn't really done much bridging at all, up until the last 12 months, I was always of the, I was always told that it was the quick route to cash, which obviously, depending on who you work with, I'm not saying that that's not possible.
Yeah,
can be obviously a scenario on what, two or three property deals last year with a certain company, who I won't name obviously, that took 4 or 5 months, I think it was, on a couple, and 9 months on the one. That's fucking horrendous. That's not quick.
No, it's terrible.
We might as well have got a mortgage.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
You know, and still had the exits available to us that we have now after getting bridging finance.
Private money, in my experience, is the best to work with.
That's...
Even if you end up paying a couple of points more on your interest rates, I much prefer it. Predominantly for the efficiency.
Yeah, small offices rather than big businesses that have so many layers, you have to speak to this person about one thing, this person about another. It's a corporate horror show which you don't want to get involved in again.
With the bridges?
Yeah.
I think that was a bad lender.
I hope so.
They might even listen to this, so we need to be careful, but I don't think they were a very good lender.
Well, look, they got it over the line in the end, but there was no efficiency there.
I think one of the lessons I had last year was to do with, well, first we got put in touch with this lender through our broker. He's a good guy, but he went for a coffee and that with them, or a meal, and we were the first company that he had put in touch with these lenders.
Mm-hmm. That's probably naive one.
It's naive one. Exactly. And he apologised. He didn't stop him taking his fee, but he apologised. So, you know, whatever it is, what it is. But that was a lesson on our behalf. Never checked the lenders out, just went on his word because he's been great in the past.
Yeah. And obviously, which we should have known, but we do know, but I don't know why we made this decision, but another lesson from what you described there is not to use the same bridging lender.
Yeah, we used it for a few, didn't we?
Three deals.
Four. Two to four as well. Four, five, nine. Four, two to four.
Yeah, I'm classing them as three deals in my head.
Okay, yeah, I don't. Makes you sound like you've done more.
Another thing about bridging which I hadn't really ever considered a real positive thing about using bridging finance is the fact that there's no money going out, which helps massively with cash flow. So obviously if you're on a 12 month bridge and you've got no sort of monthly mortgage payment going out each month on every single one of your deals, that helps massively. And I think maybe people don't give that enough credit when they're assessing their options about how to purchase something. That helps massively. So that's another big positive.
Yeah, people don't know that. People don't think about that, you know. I don't think they stumble on it.
I don't think it computes in people's heads. They just think, oh, that's quite expensive.
Yeah.
That's expensive money.
That's what people don't understand as well very often. You only notice it as time goes by, is that it's not profit that keeps you in business, it's cash flow. Cash coming in, even if you know you're not making a profit at the end of the year, providing you've got 5 or 6 months of the year where you're up, you can sustain yourself, you know.
Yeah.
So this is where it helps.
And not only that, if you're buying with a bridge, you're working that interest into your deal, those costs into your deal. So don't get me wrong, it can be expensive, but to counter that, you'd like to think it's more efficient. We've used another bridging firm recently, haven't we? Which were a lot better, a lot more efficient.
Very good. Impressed.
So that sort of counters that, you know, the interest that you do pay on a bridge. If they can perform as good as this last firm did, they were very good. Yeah, that's been an eye-opener for me, I think. And I think, I don't think we've spoken about it, haven't we? But that's how we'll probably continue to go. With the right people.
My first point of call is private money. bridge. I don't think, have we bought anything with the mortgage at the beginning? I don't think we did last year, did we? It's all bridging and cash.
The only time we've looked to get a mortgage is when we refinanced.
Refinanced back out, yeah.
So no, we didn't buy anything last year with a mortgage.
Mm.
We bought stuff for cash. We bought stuff for a bridge with security off it. Properties put up for security for the lender.
Mm-hmm. With no debt on them.
With no debt, yeah.
Yeah, that's all it was. Bridging, cash, bridging and that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll be doing a more refinances this year to get off them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So where the market goes, man, the rates seem like they're flatlined. Seems like they're coming down. The banks are fighting to get the money out the door, which is good. They made a bit of hay last year, didn't they? While the sun shined.
Yeah. Just a bit. In every sense. Rates, fees.
Fees were a disgrace.
Everything. They really did.
Mm.
I'll tell you what doesn't change, though, between residential property and commercial property.
What?
Is your valuers. And how
they're even worse, I think.
Yeah, you could say they're actually worse. How they operate. I mean, that's a story in itself, isn't it? And again, if you've been involved in property long enough, this wouldn't probably be that new to hear this, but we know of our agent that we bought one of these properties off, that he turned up and he was out of his car for no more than 10 minutes, barely looked around the place, and then put a fucking ridiculous reinstatement value, you remember, for
£400,
which caused no end of problems when we were looking to get the property insured, which was obviously a stipulation of our conditions with the bridging firm. So not only were they shit and inefficient,
that costs about £20,000 in insurance, I did.
Yeah, he doesn't know how much of a problem he caused there.
Mm. And he wouldn't change it on appeal. Lenders appeal as well.
So it was £3.5 million in reinstatement value on a property that we bought for £480,000. It's absolute lunacy. Yeah.
Crazy. And you can't say anything because the lender won't lend because of the insurance policies.
Well, again, I think this goes back to what we mentioned a moment ago, like you did. First port of call, private money. Second port of call, maybe a family-run finance provider.
Well, fund-like.
Because the reason why I think we had this problem with this particular lender is because, as I said earlier, they're so process-driven.
Mm.
They need to A to B to C to D to E. I feel like I want to mention these people's names, right?
No, don't do that.
The other firm that we've used recently, the most recent bridging firm, what was their protocol?
Who's that one? The Peterborough ones?
No, for Market Drayton.
That was cash. Market Drayton's cash.
Peterborough. What's their...
They're really good.
What's their process been with us in comparison to...
What do you mean? How quickly have they been?
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Christmas, it would have been done in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But because of Christmas, we're looking at six. Minimal. So like 5, 6.
Go on.
What do you mean?
What questions did they ask?
I don't know.
What different or what questions...
Oh, man.
I suppose a better question. What questions didn't they ask?
Loads. I mean, how many inquiries did solicitors get now? Just loads and loads, and they just keep coming back. It's another one. Just put everything on one piece of paper and we'll get it all done in a week. But they don't. You come out of this, then you give it. They come out of this. They come out of this. And 3 months down the line, they're still not happy with everything you provided. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, that was absolutely ridiculous.
We're buying one down the road for a client, and that's been about 9 months. 9 months with the commercial lender. That's with the mortgage, straight mortgage. It's just... The conveyancing process really needs to get it shifted into the modern world, man. It's still stuck in the 90s or something.
Do you see there being an evolution?
I don't know. Is it that bad to evolve yet? I don't know.
You know,
as an investor,
we've been doing it a fairly long time now, but there's been people in this game for how many years?
Yeah.
30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Has it ever been, you'd think with time it'd get better, has it ever been as inefficient?
I don't know.
That might be naive to say, it's obviously times change.
I mean,
the hoops that you need to jump through change as well. And, you know, people would use that as an excuse for why things might take longer now. But you'd hope with the advancement of technology that all of this could be a hell of a lot less painful.
Well, we bought a building in Shropshire. I had an email earlier today saying land registry is updated. Now, when did we bother? Yeah, Lake Street. We had an email today, land registry has been updated today.
We bought that in the summer, I think.
April, I think. April, May last year.
That's crazy. And that's another one.
Took 8 months.
So everything to do with property seems to take too long. Wildly inefficient and front-loaded cost-wise.
That's part and parcel of the game, though, man. You know what you're getting into when you get into it. It's just hard when you're going through it. That's long mindset again.
It's a long-term thing as well. I mean, before Christmas, and I know that everyone seems to have a slowdown, as soon as they hear the words Christmas, people start to slow down by the look of it. Then why December? November, it seems to start then. But like, we had the intention of putting that on the market in December.
Lake Street.
Yes, Lake Street on the market in December. We spoke to people, give them the go-ahead. We're having conversations today, the 5th of January, about them only just organising to take photos of the property. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. Like, where's the drive? Like,
oh, no, that's a mentality thing, mate. I think a lot of people are missing that, not just in this
where's
game.
Where's the, like, will and want to do things? Don't seem to be there. No. I spoke to another agent earlier, didn't I? One of my desperately painful Instagram stories about it. This guy, I would put him probably in his 50s. Sounded like he'd been in the business, the property world for a long time. All I had was negativity.
Really?
Like, every turn, every question was met with some sort of negativity. And I thought, for goodness sake, like, one, you're meant to be, you know, acting on our behalf here.
Yeah. And you're getting business.
Don't get me wrong, you don't want somebody to lie to you, of course not. I want people to be brutally honest with me.
Mm-hmm.
But from our own market research and our own advertising of these properties, we know ourselves that the market isn't anywhere near as bad as he was making it to me this morning. So, like, what are people doing? The commercial space, my limited experience and knowledge of it, you need to be able to, as an owner of commercial property, you need to be flexible. That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be open to rent-free periods. You need to be open to maybe a lease agreement that, you know, maybe you could got a more lengthy lease back in the day when the high street was more vibrant and there was more going on. So you need to be open on in that respect as well. But you need an agent that is willing to do their part as well and market it correctly. You know, social media is a massive deal now, isn't it?
Yep.
Get all over social media.
I mean, that's easy for us to sit here and say it now when we're grafting on it. But we are doing the beginning of last year.
Yeah, but I feel like it's always, that's not being like a hidden secret, has it?
No.
Everyone's known that social media is big for every business now, let alone property.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've got somebody sitting across from me who, like I say, looks like he's been in the business for, I'm going to guess, 20, 30 years. All I'm being met with is negativity.
Maybe we'll be like that.
Cynical. Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
I just found the whole experience a bit disappointing. I felt like he was putting a dampener on my positivity, and I thought, you know what? You know, go away.
I think that's, he'd be like that in all areas of his life. It's just a person thing, not about necessarily what he's doing.
That's what I said. It just gave me a feeling that he's lost that drive and will and want.
Yeah.
To do what he's doing, which is working for an estate agency.
It's been over half hour, man. Let's just wrap it up. So now you've talked through a lot of stuff there. Give me one major lesson from last year. Whether that's a personal development thing or a mechanical thing.
I've known about this for a while, but being a man of your word and true to your word is such a massive, massive deal. So to give that a business context, I think when you set a deadline with a buyer, somebody you're buying off, somebody you're selling to, an agent, whoever it might be, my biggest lesson is to stick to that.
Mm. Nice. It's a good one. If you ain't got that, you ain't got much, man.
That's what I'm saying. Again, this ain't no hidden secret, is it? I think everyone knows they might not act on it, and I'm doing my best to improve on that all the time. It's no hidden secret how big a deal that is. And I think it puts, especially like if you give it a sort of negotiation slant, if you're the person that's able to do that in negotiation, you'll get stuff more on your terms more times than not.
Mm. Yeah.
Because there's like an instant level of respect given to people that are able to do that consistently. That makes sense. I've got a way of talking around a subject and using more words than I need to. Did that make sense?
That's a lesson you could learn this year.
I think it made sense. It made sense to me anyway.
Good. Okay. Yeah, my biggest lesson is patience. Nurturing relationships constantly, let that compound over time. Don't expect results from a relationship today, expect it in 2 or 3 years, and anything before that is a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Think bigger.
Big one, yeah.
10x, whatever you're thinking now, 10x it, and you might hit 5x and you'll be, you know, well away, and then you 10x that, and that's more like 50%, 50x than the original one.
And that ties perfectly with what we said earlier, which is showing up every day and being consistent.
Yeah.
Working hard consistently. If you can do that alongside what you just said, that's the recipe for success. So
I think hard work is a byproduct of obsession. You know, if you're not like obsessed to do something, don't try to work hard. It's a waste of time. So just find it. And you find it by doing loads of stuff. You figure it out. It finds you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And there's a lot of other things that seem to fall in place when you get into that mode.
Mm.
Obviously, your confidence levels go through the roof because you get more results quicker. And it's like, fuck me, this thing works. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, I think when you think massive and not just a little bit bigger, like a ridiculously big in your head, £1 billion type stuff in your head, which is miles away from where I'm at. But when you're thinking £1 billion worth of portfolio, your actions when you're communicating reflect that, everything reflects that.
Yeah, puts you in a different headspace.
Yeah. Yeah. It might take you 20 years to get there, it might take you 5 years, and then depends, you know, whichever way the wind blows. But when you're actively acting that way, like, and because you believe it, it's not because you're bullshitting, you just believe that that's where you're going.
Mm-hmm. Then you and who's to tell anyone?
Exactly. It's only you to tell yourself, innit?
Mm-hmm. Belief systems and all that.
Yeah.
What you feel you're worth.
Yeah. That's a big enough.
It is, man. It is a big deal, that.
It's boring.
What's boring?
Limiting belief systems and stuff.
Yeah,
you just listen to it, so I've got time to listen to people.
Absolutely. Repel it. The mindset of it's me, it's always been me, I've always been that way. I can't bear it. I can't bear it. People looking for the first excuse to not do something rather than looking for the first opportunity to make something. It's the opposite ends of the spectrum, isn't it?
Mm.
This person's always going to just live in a certain way and produce fuck all. This person's going to go out there and might fuck you up 2, 3, 4, 5 times. But eventually, with that right mindset applied to something over a period of time, it's going to happen. good things, big things, whatever success looks like to you would happen. It can't not happen.
So it's inevitable.
There you go.
Nice. We're going to wrap that up. See you later.